Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on the award-winning Close Up Radio Live. This is Jim Masters. A pleasure to have you here. Also a pleasure to welcome Mark Wayne Smith, founder of 4bitsforcare.org and billboardofcare.com, which is on a mission to spread goodwill for all without any discrimination. The two platforms, which share the same goal, have come together to make a positive impact on humanity, with the 4bits equaling 50-cent donation and 4care equaling of humanity campaign. Smith's organizations are having a positive impact on childhood poverty, suffering, and homelessness. 4bitsforcare.org allows visitors to pledge a small or large monthly donation to help offer aid to families. And with a small donation, the cellular devices and things of that nature, it can really make a huge difference so no one would ever go hungry or homeless. Billboardofcare.com offers the highest quality organic, natural fiber, baby-safe clothing, and soon-to-be-added products that promote healthy living, as well as educational toys and more reasonable prices. 100% of all profits go directly to building environmentally friendly, disaster-safe residences for the homeless. Also included in this conversation, this is part one of a two-part series, Craig Peterson, CEO of Vizen Gaming, and Mr. Ralph Sibbe is going to be with us as well. He's the author of the book, The Isle of the Dragon, The Last Flight of the Bugs Bunny. Mark Wayne Smith's platforms are setting an example of how a small contribution can truly make a big impact. First, let's welcome Mark Wayne Smith to the show, and then we'll have our other guests join us in just a moment as well. Mark, welcome to Close Up Radio Live. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate all the accolades that you put in. That was awesome. And I'd like to just open up a warm heart to the audience that we're here for everyone, not for just one.
You know, you've spent your life as a successful entrepreneur. Tell us about some of your own business successes, Mark.
Well, my children were killed by a drunk driver 39 years ago. It doesn't get easy, but
no.
But they were, you know, I took on professional driving because I drove in the military. Deuce and a half, 5 tons, and it just goes on. But the thing is, I learned how to drive motor coaches. I trained drivers. I said, number one, safety, safety, safety. And then I said, there's a second part too, and it's called another safety, safety, safety. But I would learn how to drive and get people safe to their destination and back again. 49 people in a bus, they're safe and back. Even though they're drinking, they can have a good time. So don't appreciate anyone that does drink. Take a cab, an Uber, something that will allow you to get there safe and back. So that's why I started driving. It was therapy for me to honor my children, to keep other children safe, our parents and families and other people safe from havoc. But that's why I did that. So
that's absolutely so important. Yeah.
Thank you. My success in business was in the toy business. I was in the toy and game business. I got into a place in a movie called Grumpier Old Men. It was a fishing game. I won't tell you the brand of the name because the owner of the company he said no to Oprah. Oprah wanted to do a show on our toy companies because it was educational and nonviolent. I'm for that, you know, educating kids. And it was a great scene. He didn't make the movie because he said no to Oprah. That was part of the deal. So, he shot that down in a heartbeat. He says, what's Oprah going to do for us? I said, Oprah? What? I looked him in his eyes. I said, do I see beady little eyes there or what? But anyways, that didn't happen, but it would have been a great scene. But there was a scene. It was explained to me that when Walter Matthau and Jack Lemmon came up to under the window, if you've seen that second movie, the sequel, they opened up the window, and Sophia Loren said, where'd you go? You went to fishing. And she threw the spaghetti sauce on Walter Matthau. I'm going, wait. They were trying to explain, we're tied to the dock playing a fishing game. And she didn't want to listen, but, you know, you go up, and they were just having fun. And that was one good success. Yeah. Another one was with an insurance company. They had a four-piece puzzle. We had all kinds of puzzles, but I don't want to get lengthy at this because we have a short show. We are going to introduce a couple of good friends of mine. They sit on my board of directors for my nonprofit. And Greg Peterson and Ralph Stevie, they have written a book. Ralph has written a book called The Flight of the Dragon. The Last Flight of the Bugs Bunny. And
yeah, The Isle of the Dragon, The Last Flight of the Bugs Bunny.
The Isle of the Dragon, yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes. It's
so
exciting.
Let's grab the line and see who we have first. We'll grab this line here.
Okay.
And welcome to Close Up Radio Live. Who do we have here?
Hi, this is Craig.
Craig, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Craig Peterson. So you're CEO of Vision Gaming, right?
Correct,
And tell us about your relationship with Mark and your involvement in all of this incredibleness that Mark's talking about.
Sure. So one aspect that Mark is part of Mark's vision is unifying people. And give you an example. I've sat in on a number of, let's say, virtual reality lectures where you can go and attend. And some of these are existing VR venues, like Microsoft has one and some others have some. And you can walk over when you're after the lecture, you can walk over and talk to them. Other people that are there in avatar format. And like their name oftentimes floats above their head so you know what their name is. And you might be talking with someone from Africa or the UK or Germany, and you're all in the same virtual room. And you can ask them, get their perspective about the class or any other topic. It's amazing. You're just there talking to people from all over the world. I've also seen an article in the UK a month or two ago that predicted that students will be taught in VR within 20 years in virtual reality. Would you believe that may be less than 2 to 4 years with our Ultra VR product and our Classroom Metaverse app? Jim, you know how kids like playing video games, right?
Sure.
Well, now imagine that they're being taught inside of a video game with all of their classmates and their teacher in avatar form. And they can interact with each other just as they would in a physical classroom. And the teacher has all the power of a video game to keep the student's attention or to reward a student for a good achievement. So like say the teacher could activate a kaleidoscope of butterflies in the room, or a troop of monkeys that would bounce around the class, or a herd of talking giraffe walking by, waking up the kids if they get a little sleepy. Or they could go, oh, Timmy, you did a great job on your assignment. So now I'm giving you the power of flight for 2 minutes. So he flies all around the classroom and out the window around the school. The other kids are all going, oh, I wish I could do that. And so it generates an environment where kids have much more retention than they would in a typical classroom because all of their senses are involved. And it's the interactive like being in a video game, which essentially a metaverse is a video game that retains state. There are people that evaluate future technology in a 450,000 student school district that we're talking with, and they think that our Vision Gaming Ultra VR with the Classroom Metaverse app is the next generation educational platform. They're especially excited by the potential to accelerate at-risk students, such as students with intellectual disabilities, or students growing up in drug culture homes. Their model is that they would procure an Ultra VR system for every student. And while they can use all the existing teaching collaterals, they want to also find custom curriculum content. So now imagine a teacher could teleport the whole class to the Grand Canyon skywalk together for a geography class, or underwater to the Great Barrier Reef to study marine life. I mean, this just amps up education and retention in crazy ways. They could be playing learning games in teams inside a Jeopardy-like game, feeling like they're really in that kind of a environment. Or debate teams could compete between schools more often because they don't have the travel. They also want to license those collaterals to other school districts across the country that would also become Ultra VR users. So with an Ultra VR, a class could connect with actually another class in a different part of the country or even in another country for a discussion of what life like is there, and language could be translated automatically. So all of a sudden, you're able to connect with people around the globe, and imagine the learning that kids will get. It's like as good as if they were traveling to be able to talk with people in other countries as part of their class. This system also plug-and-play converts the last 30 years of conventional 2D video games into full 360 3D VR using a new type of AI neural net that we developed. So the gaming industry, conventional gaming industry, is hundreds of times bigger than the entire VR market today. So we think it'll be big with gamers. You know, instead of a gamer playing a video game, which is on a monitor, you know, it's safe because, you know, they're in their room and the game's in the monitor. It's so much more intense when you're actually inside the video game with life-size opponents running up all around you. And these, you know, common games out there that people enjoy, there's like hundreds of millions of people that play these games. And if every student had an Ultra VR system, think of the esports programs that can be had inter-school or across the country. And this kind of thing is going to dramatically increase students' interest in technology, engineering, and mathematics. And one of the things that makes this Ultra VR so good is it uses a new approach we call VR 2.0 that has 8x to 16x more detail and resolution than is possible with conventional VR today. It's literally a decade ahead, and that's why we call it Ultra in the Ultra VR. We showed it to Hollywood Professional Association's annual tech retreat with lots of high-end video experts, and many people said it looked like the only reasonable future to VR. The Ultra VR Cube, which is the model for education, could be reasonably acclaimed the world's first metaverse computer. The system fits in the palm of your hand. It's a 4-inch cube, plus an included lightweight, thin VR headset. Yet it's a powerful Windows 11 video gaming computer, which is amazing, miracle of modern miniaturization. But it easily fits in a student's backpack because no monitor is required. You boot it up, you put the headset on, and you're inside your personal hangout virtual space, or it's your private office or your virtual living room. And you could live in a closet but work, play, and entertain in a palace or a penthouse or a mountaintop chalet. But you can pop up a virtual monitor in your virtual space and get approximately a standard HD laptop visual detail and experience. You get a view of your hands and keyboard and mouse inserted under that monitor so you can type and run Windows apps at full speed. And you can invite your friends to socialize and watch a movie together off of your virtual computer projected onto a big screen at the front of your hangout space. So it's a dramatic new type of computing experience where you utilize it completely in virtual space. There's a local school district nearby in a small town that's limited to a fixed-size student body and building until they can get an additional source of water to expand their facilities. But their population is still increasing, and they realize they could have each student stay home one day a week on Ultra VR, and then they could actually enable them to have 20% more students for the same physical facility.
Wow.
And then they realized that they could hire a teacher in a different part of the country to teach a class on special topics. So they get all kinds of new flexibility. And in developing countries, the first most important thing is to be able to have clean water and electricity. And usually you can accomplish that with the same type of solution. But the second one is not phones, it's internet to connect to medical services and support education and local industry. So imagine a village with Ultra VR classrooms and the ability to use a remote teacher or to meet with other students from other villages and learn more about their region and their country and other countries. So it's really a powerful new way to bring people together and unify people. And we've got a bunch of other technology that's beyond able to fit in a small interview like this. But one of those is another company that we're about to launch, which has a premier new way of movie and TV production. It'll have the most advanced and largest virtual production chambers in the world right here in Central Texas. And virtual production chambers is a new way of doing filming. It can reduce the cost of making a movie or a TV show by as much as 90% per minute of final produced content. Plus, we're introducing a new technology that when you shoot the movie, you can rapidly create a metaverse version of the movie where you can walk around inside movie scenes while they're playing using Ultra VR, or you can also rapidly create video games of the movie, which could be released at the same time of the movie and played in 360 3D VR using Ultra VR. And that's exciting because producers know that video gaming industry creates more revenue than movie, TV, books, and music combined. So that basically gives you kind of an overview of some of the stuff we're doing that helps connect people together.
It's extraordinary. Sounds innovative, exciting, revolutionary, interactive. Mark, when you hear this, it must good to have Craig as part of the team.
Yeah, he sits on the board of directors of 4Bits4Care, and his knowledge and experience and wisdom sure lends a hand to our efforts to reach around the world. And we believe that through media, entertainment, education, it allows us to integrate with each other and unify, because anything that benefits humankind, we can do it with all our expertise around us. And with our heart behind it, we can take it anywhere. It's endless.
And before we welcome Rolf on, author of the book, The Isle of the Dragon, The Last Flight of the Bugs Bunny, briefly, Mark, and I mentioned it in the introduction, tell us again about the vision and mission of 4bits4care.org.
Well, I want to thank Craig for explaining his business. He does it better than anyone else. We're going to work with the movie industry. We're going to work with the entertainment industry, with technology, integrating that in teaching, education. And the 4Bits is a contribution from people that will allow the 4Bits, which equals 50 cents. It's an old term we used to use back in the 30s. Bugs Bunny used to flip coins to people, when he was beginning. And he used to flip coins. Here you go, here you go. Those are bits. Those are helping feeding people. So we thought through the meek, we will inherit the earth. And through Craig technology with Ralph doing movies, and we have other authors that have children's books that benefit their children through visual, sound. It's experiencing the ultra reality in a child, especially during St. Jude's children that die of cancer. They can say, "Mom and Dad, can we go on vacation?" All they have to do is put the VR helmet on, and they can take a ride. They can fly through the underneath the ocean to the Grand Canyon to the top of Mount Everest. they'll have a lifetime experience in a few hours with their family.
That's incredible. And then briefly, also, we want to make mention of billboardofcare.com. Tell us about that.
Well, I'm glad you asked that. I'm glad you asked that question. Billboard of Care has two ways of giving back. One is we have donors buy forward. They buy and we forward the packages, diapers, organic diapers, thing that health and well-being of people, of children, they can buy and donate to wherever they want to. And then the back end, we take the profits and we pay it forward. We pay all profits forward. I don't want to be the richest man in the world. I want to be enriched the world with gifts.
That's incredible.
So that's
really fantastic work. Yeah.
And my brother, I have to mention my brother. We in the field ministries. Meet in the field ministries. And I want to let him talk about that for a second.
Yeah, thank you very much. This is Clark Stewart with Wheat in the Field
Clark,
Ministries.
Welcome.
Well, thank you very much for this opportunity to be able to talk to your audience. One of the things with Wheat in the Field Ministries is we're going to be using the technology that's coming from Craig. And also, I want to applaud my brother Mark for being able to get everybody together for one purpose in unity. And Wheat in the Field Ministries, one of its primary goals is to work with children, children that have been taken away by CPS from their parents due to addictions and abuse and all that. And as a person, in my childhood, I went through a ton of abuse, really horrific abuse. And I've come out of that now, and I'm being able to teach people about how to come out of abuse. And in today's society, mental health is very, very important because we see the condition of the world and we want to be able to change that through all these technologies. And we want to be able to get these kids in a place in their head to be able to accept God's love, to be able to understand what they went through, and that they aren't worthless, that they are very important human beings, and that they can be productive members of society and help others. And that's really the goal of Wheat in the Field Ministries, because we have actually been mandated by God to teach transformation to his people, because I got this as a download from God, and he basically said, I want my people transformed more than what they are before I come back, which is very soon.
That's incredible. That's really incredible. I want to make sure that we welcome Ralph to the show as well. Ralph Stibbe, author of the book, The Isle of the Dragon, The Last Flight of the Bugs Bunny. Ralph, welcome to Close Up Radio Live. It's a pleasure to have
you
as well. And tell us about your involvement in all of this incredibleness that we're hearing from everybody.
Thank you. Yes, it originally started with a chance meeting at a Starbucks. I met one of Mark's colleagues at a Starbucks in Buda, which is north of San Antonio. And he interfaced me with Craig and Mark's crusade here. First of all, thank you for having me on your show.
You're welcome.
And I'm Richie from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I'm serving with the United States Air Force almost 30 years. At Lackland Air Force Base, San Antonio. I'm calling you from San Antonio. Hello from Texas. I have developed this book called The Isle of the Dragon a couple years ago. One is from Dorrance Publishing in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and the other rebranded version is from Author's Reputation Press, Amazon's exclusive publisher, from Boston, Massachusetts. It's available on ebook, and I have The Isle of the Dragon video that I put together. I'm in my Hawaiian shirt on YouTube for everyone to see. And what's this about? What is the Isle of the Dragon about? The Isle of the Dragon, it stemmed from an interview I had from a pilot from Medford, Wisconsin. He flew the actual Bugs Bunny bomber, B-25 Mitchell, twin-engine medium bomber. armed with 850 caliber machine guns and a bomb bay full of bombs. It was their task to fly from New Guinea sinking Japanese ships known as the Tokyo Express, shuttling supplies to Japanese outposts. The Bugsman and the bomber group are called in to sink the ships, strafe the airfields, and everything else. In the historical fictional accounts of my book, The Isle of the Dragon, the B-25 Mitchell Bugs Bunny is on an anti-shipping mission, and in the ensuing conflict is damaged, and they're flying the wrong way home. They're flying the wrong way home, and they run out of fuel and crash on a deserted island. And on this island, there's some really interesting people on this island that's going on, slated to become a top-secret project. Again, the stuff in the Isle of the Dragon book, the novel, is based actually on true events. I've lumped them together to create a very realistic possibility of the Second World War. And then the aircraft has crashed. The Allies are trying to find the Bugs Bunny bomber, kind of thwarted by the attempts of a Royal Air Force female officer. And eventually the Allies launch a raid, commando raid on the island to rescue the individual. So lots of drama. Sir, since creating this book, I've been bombarded on the phone myself daily, monthly. There's been days where I've had three publishers call me all at once. Everybody wants a piece of the Bugs Bunny action, you know, this action-adventure story. I do actually have a movie script ready to go to film this film, The Isle of the Dragon, a bit of Indiana Jones, Jurassic Park, Raiders of the Lost Ark, all wrapped together in one. And what's really neat is the Edward Model Company in the Czech Republic has produced a plastic model kit of Bugs Bunny, absolutely beautifully packaged, available in hobby shops worldwide on the Internet. Edward's B-25 Mitchell, the Bugs Bunny, it actually exists. And getting into the script writing business, I currently have some scripts with TriStar Pictures in Hollywood, pending review in California. I'm actually working with a Hollywood producer in the San Antonio area with a sci-fi martial arts faith-based movie. I wrote the script. He likes it. He wants to film it. So how does this all tie together? Well, it's my intention to have these movies linked into Four Bits of Care and Billboard of Care sponsorship and use the revenue generated from these films to help fund Mark's beautiful third world developing nation products. As Mark told me, you know, it's sad to go to India to see the starving children under bridges. You know, we'll leave it at that. That will rip your heart out. And we've got to stop that. And I have all my movie scripts lined up like jet aircraft at Chicago O'Hare. All the scripts are lined up, ready to go to be made into films. So very, very happy about that. One particular film that deals with children that I created, the movie's called The Final Hour. What is The Final Hour film script product about? It's 1975, April. Saigon, South Vietnam is going to be invaded by the Army of Communist North Vietnam. President Gerald Ford is called in Operation Baby Lift to get the children and the orphans out of Saigon. On the ground is a Mexican-American U.S. Air Force staff sergeant personally loading the children orphans on board the aircraft to get them out, the C-141s. And on the other side of the tarmac, a mere few yards away, is a South Vietnamese combat fighter pilot who is Top Gun trained in the United States. And as the airbase is slowly being overrun, both of these individuals, through their own ways and means of escape out of Saigon. The U.S. Navy got the Mexican sergeant and all of his last 12 strong comrades on board the ships off Saigon, and the South Vietnamese fighter pilot and a buddy sits on top of, double up in an ejection seat and fly to Utapau, Thailand to escape. And on landing in Utapau, an F-5 fighter jet pulls up next to them, a single ejection seat aircraft. The canopy opens up. Three South Vietnamese pilots get out of that seat. Such was the fear of communism enveloping Vietnam. as captured in the story. It is wild. It's real. It's gut-wrenching. And even the Operation Babylift C-5 crash is also in the film as well, because the staff sergeant at Clark actually helped get the Babylift C-5 from Clark down to Saigon, and that led to a very tragic affair. But in this film, believe it or not, sir, when Miguel, Staff Sergeant Miguel and his crew are getting the people, the diplomats, the babies are gone, they're getting the diplomats out, North Vietnam daringly performed a Pearl Harbor bombing raid on Thompson Root Air Base Saigon. And Miguel had his camera, his 35mm Nikon, clicking away. He has the only known photographs in existence of the raiding aircraft bombing Thompson Root as these Air Force guys run for cover. And what happens then is, and this is true, as the raiding aircraft leave, South Vietnam scrambles their F-5 fighter jets in the first ever aerial interception of the entire Vietnam War from 1965 all the way to 1975. They actually attack the aircraft in the air. And that's unlike the movie Top Gun with Tom Cruise, Maverick. This film has real Top Gun. And I thank everybody for having me on the show.
Absolutely, Rolf. We thank you, and we thank Craig Peterson for joining us, and Clark, and Mark Wayne Smith. I want to let folks know the half hour that went by in a New York minute, but Mark will be back next week to continue this extraordinary series of episodes on Close Up Radio Live and these extraordinary things that these fine gentlemen are doing with their passion and enthusiasm to really help make the world a better place. You can go to billboardofcare.com, billboardofcare.com, also 4bitsforcare.org. That's the number 4, the word bits, B-I-T-S, and then the number 4 again, the word care, and then .org to learn more. Gentlemen, and Mark, thank you very much for joining us on this episode of Close Up Radio Live. This was fascinating. We have part 2 coming up, and hopefully we'll chat some more even beyond part 2, because I think what you guys are doing is so important, so impactful, so relevant to what we need. And kudos to all of you for the enthusiasm and that roll-up-the-sleeves can-do spirit that you have coming together for the good of all of us.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on your show.
Thank you.
You are very welcome, gentlemen. And Mark Wayne Smith, thank you
for
joining us as well. And we look forward to part 2 next week. This was a terrific episode, and I hope you enjoyed the time with me as much as I have with you, Mark.
We did. Team Care is growing every day. You're part of Team Care. Thank you. You're welcome to the club.
Absolutely. You be well, and we look forward to part 2 coming up on Close Up Radio Live next week. Again, folks, billboardofcare.com and 4bitsforcare.org. This episode is recorded in its entirety, so you can hear it in full and also share it with those you think who would benefit from it. I'm your host, Jim Masters, thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, also inviting you to stay right there. I'll be back in less than 30 minutes with another incredible guest celebrated from around the world on Close Up Radio Live. Till then, for all of us, have a terrific day. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.